You're listening to The Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I'm Saba.
And I'm Brannon.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. Today's episode is a very special one because not only is it one of our guests' birthday today, but they're also people that I've known for a really long time and loved for quite a while. From being a doula to working side by side in the cannabis industry, they're a dynamic duo and we can't wait to hear more from them as they share their journey with cannabis, their passions with life, and everything in between. So guys, please welcome Bree and James to the Cannabis Hangout.
Hey guys.
What up, what up?
Thanks for taking time out of your day to be here with us, and happy birthday, Bree.
Thank you, big 34.
Yes, so glad that you chose to be here this morning. Before we dive into the juicy stuff, let's just start from the beginning. Will you guys please tell us like where your cannabis journeys like first began, like when you first came in touch with like smoking for your first time, what that experience was like, how old you were?
Man, I was in high school. I was drinking before I actually even started smoking.
Okay.
And one of my closest cousins, he used to smoke. I'm like, man, you're going to be a smoker one day, but you're going to be on this weed. I'm like, no, I don't know, man. All that breaking down, rolling up, stuff takes too long, whatever. Let me just pour up. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, I go kick it with him, hang out in the garage, a little bit of smoke, and be on my way home, driving slow as hell. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. I call him, like, man, I'm high, feeling good. And after a while, I'm like, you know, I get by myself. I'm like, I want to smoke, but I don't know how to roll up. And then, you know, start rolling ugly ass blunts after a while.
Like, yeah,
getting it down. And, yeah.
Start
doing that more than drinking, because drinking eventually got me in trouble when I had breathalyzers and DUIs, stuff like that. So
yes.
I could still smoke while I was in that trouble. So
yeah, right.
Still hit the breathalyzer and pass the alcohol part and hit the blunt. So it was all good.
Yeah.
Hey, cheat codes. What about you, Bree?
Oh man, let me see. My big brother, he used to record his homies in his room. He had a studio in his room, and my mom would work late, so he'd have the smoke out. And for a while, I would go hang out in there, and they never let me hit it. He'd tell all his homeboys, don't pass that to my sister. Don't pass that to my sister. So one day, one of his friends, I think he was in the bathroom boo-booing, like Devin the dude. And one of his friends gave me the blunt, and it was in the morning. It was in the morning at like 9 a.m. in the summertime before my junior year, I started blowing. I started smoking. I couldn't roll up either. I used to poke a hole in a can and bend it a little in the middle and like...
Sketchy.
Yeah, or like the toilet paper roll with the foil.
I've never done that. Toilet paper roll. I've never heard that. Toilet paper roll with foil?
You young, boo. That's an OG trick. But I eventually started rolling up and being able to smoke. I used to smoke with my high school boyfriend a lot.
Yeah.
She looks over.
All the homegirls. But I was 17. 16, 17 when I started smoking, and I never been in trouble for it. And I used to ride around Edmonds smoking.
I've been there, done that. Go through the neighborhood, blow your pipe, figure out what neighborhood you're finna roll through.
Right?
Yeah, so many. So what's your relationship with cannabis like now that you guys are older? You guys have a family, you're more developed in yourselves as people. And what do you personally consume cannabis for?
It's everyday medicine. Anti-inflammatory, all the medicinal
things.
And all the, you know, social things as far as, you know, dealing with stresses and dealing with people and being able to relax or being able to focus or whatever most people use it for as far as that goes, yeah.
Are you like a as-you-wake smoker throughout the day?
Throughout the whole day, I'm functional with it, so I can wake up and smoke. I can be on the way to work and smoke, be at work and go to break and smoke, come back in and function just fine.
Still be doing your thing just as you would.
Definitely,
Yep, me too. Now that I'm a mom, though, I feel like I have to defend cannabis, and considering it's legal now, I'm a nerd, So I've read, you know, Cannabis Pharmacy, a book written by MDs. I've talked to different cancer patients and doctors that prescribe cannabis for different things, especially lung cancer. I wanted to know why you're telling people to smoke cannabis when they have a lung cancer and why that's a positive. I learned all those things, along with being a doula, knowing the facts and being able to spit facts at the judgy mom or the judgy grandma, or I'm choking on cannabis while I'm 8 months pregnant. And, you know, he's on the phone with his mom, like, why is she coughing? Well, let me tell you all the things that I'm benefiting from, you know. And so for me as an adult, my relationship and is more of an educated one. I smoke in the morning when I wake up. We smoke all the time. I can smoke anybody under the table. I do it for anxiety. I do it for being anxious. I do it for childhood trauma. I do it so that I don't blow shit up. I do it so that I can, so I can giggle at things. It keeps me level so that all of the different personalities in my head, you know, in my mind, it's a conference table of different versions of me. So there's me, Susie Homemaker. There's me, the thug. There's me from high school. There's me, the sweet, compassionate one. We're all at the table. And when someone speaks to me, everybody has a response. And cannabis allows me to be like, don't say that, bitch. Sit down, bitch. Hold on. Okay, but okay, smile. Okay, now we're gonna put a little twist. Boom, there's my answer. But without cannabis, I move so fast. I'm pretty sure I might have ADHD, man. So like I would just blurt things out without thinking. So for me, it's better to be high before I take a test. To be high before I go meet someone new or stand in front of a crowd, because if not, my mind's moving too fast.
Too fast.
I need to be slowed down.
With it being legal now and not having to worry about looking over your shoulder and all that stuff like back in the day.
Feels better.
Yeah, and it's more socially accepted as well. So more people know it's just, it's everywhere. The dispensaries are everywhere, and we're in the hub of of America now as far as cannabis and having dispensaries on every corner and stuff like that. I don't mind smelling like it. I don't mind my eyes being red, whatever. Especially when you see me still handling my business and doing what I need to do. It's like, yeah, I'm high, but, you know.
I never minded. I'd be a high school
straight
reeking.
Still where I need to be at the time I need to be there. So, hey, you know.
Eyes red.
Whatever, like, whatever little stereotypes you have about weed smokers, I'm breaking it because I'm still handling my business. So
Yeah, you're not bothered by it.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by it at all.
Totally. So you guys, from a young age, it sounds like it has, like, helped you medicinally in some way more than, like, just even in your adulthood. I feel like you've kind of connected with it, knowing that it helped you, like, chill or cope with things, you know, just, like, growing up. Or, I mean, would you say so?
I think growing up, I just did it to get blowed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was better than sipping that lean.
Right, growing into it.
And we didn't have the same knowledge of what we were doing. So, like she said, we read books about it. We watched documentaries about it. We learned about how it's more of a medicine than a drug. It's not a drug. It's a medicine. It's a, you know, it's a food. So it's like we use it in that manner.
It's a superfood. You know, I learned about all of the medical things about it because I used it through pregnancy. And when I was pregnant with my now 12-year-old, my mom, I couldn't eat, and I wasn't keeping food down. I was nauseous, and my mom said, you need to smoke a little joint. And I'm like, what? So I was a rule follower, and it was my first kid, and I was young. I read everything there was to know about studies in other countries about cannabis and pregnancy and cannabis in general. And my mom says, well, I smoked with you and your brother and your sister. And I was mind blown. I was like, what? Well, I'm cool, so I'm going to go ahead and smoke. And so at that moment, I had to start learning all of the medical parts. But when I was a kid, no. I was just getting high. I didn't learn that it was helping me in the ways that it was until I started having situations occur where I did better when I was stoned, like taking a test.
When you realized.
I mean, so parents like I did too. You gotta like getting older now. Yeah. Be like, hey, you saw me getting in trouble for it back then, getting fired from jobs, getting pulled over by the police and sent to jail and stuff back then when I was doing it just on some ignorant shit. But now I know more about what I'm doing. I'm licensed to do it. And, you know, I know how it's helping me. I know how to stay out of trouble now doing it. So it's like they got a whole different respect for us being parents. Smoking weed and still handling our business.
And the fact that we always smell like a bomb when we come
So unapologetic about it.
So being, you guys are patients also in the cannabis industry. I would say you're patients before you work in the cannabis industry, because I myself consider that for me. What's something you guys look for when you go shopping in a dispensary, when you guys pick a dispensary, what's important to you, especially as people who are very educated on cannabis and, you know, the way that people can grow it, the pesticides that can be put into it? Like, what do you guys personally look for when you go into places?
I look for the bud tenders to look like they use the product, of course.
Yeah. You know?
I don't want you just working here and you don't even mess with it like that. So, of course, I want that. I want to feel like this is a fellow weed smoker in here selling the product, and I want to feel that vibe when I come in there. And then,
I hit him with the question.
When it comes to the actual product itself, though, now I have gotten a little sketchy about
just smoking anything.
And if it's got all this soda pop flavors and all that crap to it, I'm like, nope, you probably stuck stuff on it. So if I can tell, it's probably been sprayed or something like that. I'm not trying to mess with any. Yeah, I want it to be as organic as possible, just like the food I eat. So same thing.
Yeah. I'm usually asking, I want to know, does that bud tender know about the terps and the cannabinoids? Because, you know, there's THCV, there's THCA, there's CBA, CBG, THA. There's a bunch. Everybody knows about CBD and THC and now Delta 8 and Delta 9 and some of those. But I want to know if you know about that caryophyllene, that limonene, that, those.
What makes the flower.
What's going on with those oils on it. Because some of those give other people anxiety. Like you said, you don't like that orange. In the sativas, and I like sativas. Other people smoke a sativa and have a bad experience.
Yeah.
So I like to know, because basil, oregano, lavender, a lot of the other herbs that we use for seasoning have the same,
terpenes
that cannabis has.
So you know the product, know your patient, just like a doctor would, or a nurse, or anybody else. So ask the person what they're looking for, what effects are you looking for. You looking at sit down, relax, get off of work, be able to go to sleep tonight? Or you looking to be able to smoke on your way to work and be up for the day, smoke on your break and still have energy? Like, what you looking for?
Yeah.
Or you're having any medical issues that you're dealing with that you're trying to hit? You know, have you got inflammation, or you having dizziness, you have nausea, things like that? And then it goes back to, like she said, THCV, CBD, and things like that that you can start looking for according to what impact and what effects you want.
Mm-hmm. You guys are mindful consumers.
I know.
Like, with what you Blitz intake.
Mindful consumers.
You know what I'm saying.
Just think about, like, if you're shopping for vegetables or shopping for your food, just think about it the same way when you go into a dispensary. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I want? What am I looking for? What taste am I looking for?
And let's not just say sativa or indica when I walk in. You want a sativa or indica?
Nah.
Yeah. How about you ask me what effect I'm looking for?
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's a good question to ask. What effect are you looking for versus just hitting the, are you wanting an indica or a sativa? And if you do want to, like, do go that route, you can ask, are you looking for something more daytime or nighttime versus indica or sativa?
Yeah.
Because you might be somebody whose sativas affect as, like, a nighttime situation versus, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure. So what's your favorite memory with cannabis, would you guys say? Like, something that sticks out clear in your mind?
I'm going to take this one first, babe.
Oh, yeah, babe.
I've been looking at him to answer first so I don't overtalk.
Because I said you talk too much.
No, because I know I talk too much. I know how to read the room. I done grew up a little bit. No, my favorite cannabis memory in Edmond, got pulled over, was with my high school boyfriend. And we picked up our order from all of our friends, and we were going to my weed man's house. We had about 2 ounces on us.
Mm-hmm.
We got pulled over. We were finishing up a blunt. It was really small. It was a doobie. It was a canine unit.
Oh,
we pulled over into the complex across from Edmond North High School. This canine unit, I was wearing an itty-bitty skirt and a spaghetti strap. I put an ounce underneath each one of my titties. And the canine unit smelled us, smelled me. I was also TMI, but it was, you know, lady time.
Yeah.
So when that happens, if you need an excuse and the dog is up on you, you can say that, and then the cops will excuse it.
You know what, ma'am? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because men get uncomfortable with that conversation anyway.
Right. So all of that was going on. And so we had the doobie, and they're like, we can smell it. You have it in the air. And he's like, oh, this is all we have. He tells us to grind it up and put it, you know, on the sidewalk or whatever. Lets us go. No warning, no ticket, nothing. Had the dog walk around the car. They searched the car. Nothing in the car. Well, because I had it on me. And then we got back in the car and continued delivering the trees to where they belonged, and nobody lost their money, and we got to just hit the next corner and light our blunt back up. And it was a beautiful.
Wow.
It's my favorite one.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. That's a strong memory. I would never forget that. I would be shitting my pants.
Edmond K9 unit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Edmond.
Yeah, like 2005.
Woo.
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Jade Pebworth over at the Me Law Group in Oklahoma focuses to provide you with a comprehensive approach and intelligent advice and representation focused on resolving problems rather than inflating them.
She kills it with civil litigation, cannabis law, business planning, corporate law / litigation, and family law.
She enjoys working with companies from the ground up. Whether you need her to review and draft contracts for your company, assist in licensing applications, and more, the Me Law Group has your back.
Now, let's get back to today's episode.
You know, 2006.
How old were you?
I was probably about 16.
Okay.
Damn,
16. So you were young.
Yeah.
You're a baby.
I was excited to find you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was Brick Reggie though.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine Brick Reggie. I could fit it. It was fine. Anybody could fit it.
Yeah.
You had to break that shit down forever to get up.
That's funny.
What about you, James?
Man, had a lot of crazy memories with cannabis. Me and Mary have been through it. So I've been in my fair share of trouble with Oklahoma City police and stuff like that. But one of my favorite ones, though, I have a good one. My favorite one is the most recent because it's a few years ago, I got my license. So before I was legally doing this,
yes.
I was doing some truck driving out of town about 2 or 3 hours away in McAllister, Oklahoma. And I was driving out there early in the mornings and doing construction work out there and then driving back to the city after working 10, 12 hours. And Bree had been on me about, you know, if you're going to be out here, you know, moving around and working and doing stuff and still having cannabis and you know, you need to have your license. We got licenses out here now so you can at least be safe. Okay, babe, eventually I'll get one. But one day we had the opportunity to get one. She made me get my ass up.
It was my birthday.
Get the license. And I went and got it. And about the next week, not even 2 weeks went by, I went out there to McAllister, did my job. Was on the way back home to the city with my buddy, and was on the turnpike, smashing our whole way home, and just got back into the city and was off the turnpike, back onto the regular highway, and it was a couple of diesel trucks I was trying to pass by, so I gunned it to about 90 again one more time and tried to get past them, and I passed by a couple officers that were sitting on the side of the road, so they smashed and caught up with me, and they're like, man, what you doing? I'm like, man, I was just trying to get past those diesels. He's like, you going about 20 over? I'm like, oh. And me and my buddy we had just put the blunt out before I did that, so the smoke was still on in the car.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna be able to get the smell away.
Yeah.
I knew it. So shit, he walked up like, so what's up? You got weed in the vehicle? I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, you got your license? Yes, sir. And I gave it to him, and he walked back to the car and came back faster than I had ever had an officer do any of that shit.
Yeah.
He checked my name, looked at the license, came back and gave me my ticket for speeding, but he didn't ask any more about the weed at all.
That's
where it was at. Didn't ask to see anything. Like nothing, just because I had my license on me, even though the smoke was in the air. And I'm like, okay, beautiful. Like, I drove off, like, called her right after, like, babe.
You'll never guess what happened.
I got a fat ass ticket just now, but
I'm not
really waiting for weed. You know
Yeah,
that was literally the fastest. I mean, I've been pulled over for just regular speeding before.
Yeah.
I never had a transaction go that fast.
That was one of my best
bikes. Nice.
That's nice.
I've got pulled over. And they had asked for if I had any seedlings in my car.
Oh my God.
They like did not know what to ask.
Yeah,
like had
course.
No
yeah.
idea.
Yeah,
and I was like, if you're referring to if I like have a legal limit on me, then yes, I do. You know what I mean? I'm like, they don't even know what they're supposed to say. It's like some of them don't, or some of them are so out of touch.
Anyway. They've been training them up this past couple years.
Okay.
This past year for sure.
Yeah, they're getting better.
They're getting better.
At least the agent, like the OMA agent. I'm not sure about the police themselves, but the OMA and what's the other one? Metric agents.
Yeah.
They have been training them heavily, and they've been busting a lot of the grows and a lot of dispensaries. Have been
transporters
under
too.
Table shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Compliance. We need the
We like the leeway.
We need that under the table. Yeah. And we like need them.
Rules are not always fun.
It's just like the farmers that we need to stay legit and not go all Walmart on us, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same type of thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. 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 You're right about that. So from what Saba's told me, you guys seem to be like super connected. Do you guys find that cannabis has been like a tool in your relationship? Like, do you feel like it's helped you guys like bond or connect deeper? Like, what would you say?
We have had a lot of fun cannabis dates since we've been working together in the industry. Yes, we have had a lot of fun cannabis dates, a lot of expos and parties and puffing paints and a lot of different events.
Yeah.
When we first started dating, I was transporting and doing sales for Nature's Key.
Okay.
And it was back when they had those brownies in the clear bags, two of them in there, like throwback old school little sprinkles
when,
on
like,
top.
First came
they
out.
They were so fucking gooey.
Yeah, I remember. They were so good.
And they had the gummies. And my mom and I were out selling for them, and we put them into like 300 different dispensaries across the state. And so we'd just go out with a big-ass tote. It was Wild Wild West. We'd go out with a big-ass tote, take product in, sell it, write the paperwork, handwrite the paperwork, take the cash. We'd go home with guap.
And they had been into 300 before they were just on every block like that. That was before they had just been everywhere, and they had hit that many.
Well, we would go. We went from corner to corner of this motherfucker, okay?
Yeah.
And so that was really fun. And since then, what was the question? Niggas is, oh, my bad.
I was just saying, do you guys feel like cannabis has been like a tool for your relationship?
Yeah, so that's what it was. We went on a date, our cannabis dates.
Mm-hmm.
I had four jobs, and one of them was delivering. And so we had just started talking, and he was off and I was off, and I was like, you want to ride with me? And I took him with me to go make deliveries at dispensaries, and he'd sit in the car and I'd go in and come out whatever with guaps of cash and a backseat full of orders, and we'd smoke while we were doing it. And that was the beginning of our cannabis dates. And since then, I used to whip it too. He was like, you drive like me. And I'm like, that means you drive well. And we just, we've been rolling together in the car with pounds since we got together.
Many dispensaries, random country little dispensaries
out of
town.
Farms.
Yeah.
Grows. Hydroponic grows.
Yeah. Seen so much different
processors.
Equipment. Yeah.
Oh, that big machine that rolled all those joints at once. It was as big as a room. It was like 1,000 pre-rolled machines.
Wow.
I've seen one of those lately, and I've never seen one before.
We saw it in action.
We collected so much
Keef.
Paraphernalia.
You could sit in that bucket of Keef.
Just dive in it.
Dispensaries from dispensaries that aren't even around anymore. That's been shut down over the past few years. We got t-shirts
from every dispensary.
Lanyards and
that's far.
All kind of stuff from different events and stuff. All the free giveaways, seeds, nutrients, lighters, bags. Like, yeah, we collect
so much stuff.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah, we have an expo coming out.
Yes.
We get the tickets and just have a ball.
I love that for y'all.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk food and cannabis. I like that you said cannabis is a superfood. And when we smoke, everyone gets the munchies normally. So what is your go-to like place or type of food you like to eat after you consume? Like, is there something you whip up at Homebrew or James that you're like, this? Or is there a restaurant you all like to go to? Like, what's your go-to munchie?
Picasso's.
Yeah, we go to Picasso's.
For those salmon avocado egg roll appetizers, we don't share them. We both get our own order of them.
Okay. Yeah. Salmon avocado egg rolls?
At Picasso's.
Okay.
Fire.
Never heard of them.
Fire. You're missing out.
I'm not a big salmon girl, though, to be honest. I probably won't go get them.
that's real.
But I do like that place.
And
it's
chocolate chip
really
cookies.
Good.
We have a home chocolate chip cookie war. I don't like James to let any female that's not related to him by blood taste his chocolate chip cookies because then you're going to come from my man, bitch. They're so good.
Well, shit, Brie, don't say that because now I want a chocolate chip cookie.
And then I make fun.
Now you're feeling enticed, Saba.
Yeah, I want a chocolate chip cookie, motherfucker.
I can make you some, but you cannot have my husband.
Get through Brie.
Listen, that's fair.
Right?
That's fair. I respect it.
I threatened a lady once. James was embarrassed, I think. He didn't think I was serious. I was
I already knew what time it was.
I threatened that lady.
The homie messed it up for me. I was like, damn it, bro, man. Shut your ass up.
Yep. It was wild. Funny. Chocolate chip cookies, though, yeah.
That's awesome. That's y'all's thing, then. Mm-hmm. Okay, I respect that.
I'll make it, and then he'll make some, and I'll be like, what'd you do? And he'll be like, don't worry about it. And, you know, and then I'll make mine, and then I'm like, taste this. Is this so good? And he's like, I mean, it doesn't taste like there's anybody's grandma in it. And I'm like, what do you mean?
I love that.
Yeah. So
you're somebody's grandma in your own cookies, James, then.
Yeah, he got a grandma in his cookies.
People start, start looking up in the sky like, that's taking me back to a time. I'm like, yeah,
you're really selling me on these damn cookies. I'm so annoyed with you, Brie. I know, I'm so annoyed with you.
No. I'm starting to let people share. I'm starting to share them, but only when I have a fresh batch to give them both, and then I take claim to whichever one they like.
So just know that they're probably not even that good.
Nah, okay.
Just say that.
Just think about it like that, then that way you won't even charge.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just like him because I like him. That's all. They probably don't taste like
your grandma. You slid a cookie on the load. I'm like, what is this? Well, okay. And I'm like, yeah.
And then if he ever slides either again, a chocolate chip cookie,
Bree's like, you better tell me.
Do not tell me. Okay, it's gonna cause a fight at home.
Okay,
she lets you try one of my cookies. Act like it was the first time. Like, oh, these are good. It's my first time ever having one of these.
Yeah, that's he's right. That's
noted. Remember,
don't tell me that. Put that in my brain. That's the only time I'm gonna tell you not to tell me.
I love tweaking. I love tweaking food. Like,
she's dead ass.
Don't fucking tell me if he gives you a cookie.
He's not. He knows better.
He knows to sneak them to people. He does.
Okay, I was trying to help you out there. No, he knows.
I'm just letting you know. If he does it, do not let me find out.
We will. Noted.
Okay.
No chocolate cup.
I'll put that deep in my brain.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you getting your sweat on at Orange Theory, Bree. Do you consume cannabis before you work out? And like, how do you feel like it benefits you?
She's scary.
Okay, so I go to Orange Theory in Edmond.
I used to go to Orange Theory and
absolutely
loved
Edmond
it.
You're such an Edmond girl.
And no, fuck that.
I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm night. Edmond night. Yeah,
okay, anyways, I'm not a fucking night now, but I love it there. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I love
Edmond. At 5 a.m. Okay. So I wake up. Well, I go 5 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I go to a 12:15 on Tuesday, Thursdays to lift weights. But I went at 5 a.m. today because I knew we was going to be fucking around in here.
Yeah.
But I smoke before the lifting class because it's strictly just lifting. Mm-hmm. And that way I can zone out and look at myself in the mirror and make sure I have the right posture and just be high and count my reps, you know?
Right.
But I don't consume at the before the 5 a.m. for one.
Okay.
I wake up at 4:40. 4:30, I change my clothes, I brush my teeth, and I drive there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm smoking in the car on the way there and making my blunt ready the night before when I'm already getting my clothes ready,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that because I don't have time.
Yeah.
Also, honestly, I don't want to smell like motherfucking weed at 5 a.m. and have everybody in class going, damn. Plus, honestly, as much as I sweat in there, I think it's probably already coming out of my pores.
Yeah, so, for sure.
You know what I mean? If you don't smoke and I wish by you on a rower, you gonna smell that product. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I will smoke on the way home.
Okay.
I'll hit a piece. I might have something mediocre size or a vape pen. Now I'll vape on the way there because it's already ready.
Yeah.
Right. But I generally like to smoke flower.
Yes.
So no, I don't really consume before on the regular, no.
But it's definitely nice, though, after the workout, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because you go hard in those classes.
I'll come back at 6 a.m. and smoke before I get in the shower. Like, sitting there on the edge of the bed shivering because I'm cold from being sweaty.
Yes.
But like, still having to smoke.
I'm going to smoke before I take a shower, babe.
It's the best feeling.
And he's sitting there like, whatever, babe, cool, you know, because he's awake when I get home sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, smoking before a workout does help your respiratory, though.
It yeah.
does help your breathing. Helping me control my breathing a little better when I'm on a treadmill doing stuff like that. There, I normally start losing control.
Yeah.
Like even today, we didn't smoke before. When the last couple times I went with her, she noticed I was hitting the doobie real quick before me. And she's like, "Oh, man, you gonna smoke?" I'm like, "Yeah, it helped me breathe."
Yeah.
And I noticed when I was on the treadmill, I could control my breathing. I could breathe in through my nose and out through my mouth.
For sure.
Yeah. Even while my heart rate is way up.
It's that zone that you get into, like Bree was talking about. Yeah. Like, I can't go work out and not at least hit something because the zone that I get into, but also just like I'm more mindful with my body and every movement my body's doing versus when I don't smoke or I haven't smoked enough. I'm like so just sloppy and like a sloth with my workouts. I'm just like, God, can this be over already? And I hate having that mindset when I go work out because it's something I actually enjoy. Yeah. I've gotten to learn to enjoy. And so, but I think smoking's been a big part of that because between the music and then like making it seem like it's like a goal activity I'm trying to like obtain. Exactly. And by the end of it, I feel like this and then I can go hit the blunt some more. Like it's like a fun game in my mind. And if I don't consume before, I feel like it just turns into like a chore and I don't like that.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm gliding like, through the workout, whether it's like whatever machine, whatever I'm doing, if I'm running, like I just like totally like, I don't know, I'm in my body, but like.
So you've worked out in Orange Theory.
Yeah, okay, I love it.
So you know how the screen is where you can watch everybody's like heart rate and their calories?
Yeah.
When I'm running, I choose right in front of that screen and to motivate me. Along with sometimes being, I know what you mean about smoking before you run and like floating through it.
Yeah.
But I don't really do that on the days whenever I have running. But I do like to play a game in my mind where I'm chasing a person. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker. And I pick a name on the screen. I'm like, okay. Will just stole somebody's purse. He's dipping through the park. Like, I'm finna get him. Like, if he gets 5 more calories before I don't get 5 more calories, then he beat me. Like, and the purse is gone. You know,
that is hilarious.
I know it's really silly, but you know your body.
It works. Yeah.
It does.
That's what works for you.
Also, you know your body. If you use your mind to tap into feelings of being stoned, you can go into your muscle memory with your head and pull those stoned feelings into your legs, even if you didn't get a chance to consume before you work out.
Yeah.
And that does work. You can be like, man, I wish I were high. And you can sit there and take yourself to that feeling.
Yeah.
And then your body will start releasing those same cannabinoids because we have an endocannabinoid system, just like we have a circulatory and a respiratory. We have that system already. So you can actually mentally activate what's already in your saved up and take yourself there too. So
it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Cool. It's a lituation. I love it. I go 5 days a week now. I'm getting muscles I've never had.
I know. It does things to your body.
I'm so excited. It's my upper body has never been this strong.
Yeah.
Even in high school track.
And I'm,
you know, so
it's like the best shape of my life.
These jeans are from high school.
Yeah.
Like these are from high school.
Amazing.
I'm very pumped about it.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
That's so
exciting. Baby number 3, I thought it would never happen.
Yeah.
So
here you are.
I still have a tummy made of Jello, like, but it's cool. It's cool. I'm gonna cut it one day.
Stop.
I'm gonna be like, y'all gotta fix it because I messed it up. So. Is it covered? Is it covered?
So speaking of having kids and stuff, you're a doula, Bree, and I don't have kids yet, but I know the route I would go with that, you know, if I did, because it's something I've always admired and have valued, you know. What made you want to pursue that in life? Like, do you remember the moment that you were like, that's the path I want to be on? Because that's not for everyone for sure, and it's like a special person to feel like they can guide people through those journeys.
If you're ever in the Oklahoma City area, check out Chill Dispensary at 22 Northeast 10th Street.
They're good people with hand-washed, single-source live rosin, flower, pre-rolls, and other solventless products.
So go show them some love and enjoy a chill experience.
Now, back to the episode.
The reason I became a doula is kind of morbid, actually. So in America, the statistics for Black women, having a baby in a hospital are almost the same as the statistics of any woman having a baby in a third world country.
Okay.
So it's very dangerous for Black women to birth babies in hospitals here because they want our cells and blood and plasma. And so they bleed you, literally, especially if you have O blood type, which I do not. But anyways, I had a baby in a hospital when I was 22, my first one, who's 12.
Okay.
And it was the worst experience ever. They didn't listen to anything that I suggested. They didn't take my pain seriously. I mean, it was like every single thing that you feel like, oh, that could never happen. Mm-hmm. They don't really treat humans like that, I went through. And I went from having a normal birth to an emergency C-section. And then when they cut me open, they cut my baby's skull. They jarred his brain almost blinded him because they cut really close to his eye. And he's now 12, and you can still see that scar. And if you know anything about babies, you know that their skin renews. They can get a cut in the morning, and you can give them a bath at night, and it's, like, brand new. Like, whoa, where did it even go? Yeah, he's 12 and still has the scar. That's how bad it was. It jarred his skull.
Yeah, that's very traumatizing.
It was. Mm-hmm. And then they sewed me back up, and then 8 months, not 8 weeks, 8 months after I had my baby, I stood up from sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground, and I was fully healed. My shit just busted.
Bree.
And so I was holding my white meat to the hospital. It looked crazy. And then they just put some of that sticky tape across it and told me that it would grow back together, which it did not. And even now, if I showed you the way that that scar sits on my body, no matter how fit I get, they pulled my skin up too far and didn't pull it down enough, and then they sewed it shut so that it was too tight to heal properly, and nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
And then the doctor that jarred my baby's skull 4 years later, when I found out all of the things and that I could sue him for the things that happened, and there's a six-year cap on that, I learned that my baby was the very last baby that he delivered and then ended his practice.
Oh no, Brie.
So we got done very dirty, and then I learned about how fucked off it was. Much later, that's when I decided I need to go ahead and do something about this. When I became pregnant with my now six-year-old,
I delve
in even deeper. And I said, I'm not going into a hospital. And I have not been to a medical doctor since I gave birth to my 12-year-old. So that's it. I don't. I go to a chiropractor, the same one since I was 8 years
old. That's awesome.
My kids go to chiropractor. I go to Timothy Young. He's been in Oklahoma forever. He goes to different colleges and trains. His daughter has a practice, and she adjusts more infants and kids with all of the issues. Than anybody else. They're awesome, awesome, awesome people. And so, yeah, no, I don't. That's why.
I had to experience
everything that's way left scary. Field. Then I've had two babies at home in water, unassisted, one with just my mom and my sister present.
So cool.
And then James and I planned and had a baby in our bedroom in a birth pool.
Just me and him. That's just so special.
He hopped in that water. He caught his son. He encapsulated my placenta. He was there helping breastfeed and being supportive the entire way in a way that was insane. There was no yelling. There was no screaming. There was no pain. And
you were listened to,
and all of that.
He had a vaginal tear.
He healed my tear. He took care of it each day. He made my sitz baths for me to soak in. He's babe, come on, you gotta come on. You got, I got the baby. You gotta do this.
I could cry. That's so sweet. It's cool, guys.
Well, when we were first gonna do it, I was like, babe, I want you to be in the water with me. You know, I've showed him all these births.
That's me. I like save them. I send them to Saba. I am like all in them.
I'm like, I ain't getting in that murky water. No way.
You're like,
no,
it's my murky water, baby.
I'm like, it's your baby's water. He's like, I seen the pictures. Like, I'm not getting in there. But in my vision, he was in that water and he caught his baby. Don't y'all know, as soon as he seen that baby's head, he was like, my son. He hopped right into it. I felt like he was a gazelle that hopped over my head.
He didn't even think twice.
But he was just
floating in the water by mind himself. Like,
so he hopped right in the water. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, I told you, you was going to get in that water with me.
We're about to be looking up at me like, yo, what you doing over there, man? I'm like, oh, I got you, bro.
And now David is just addicted to him. Like, now that I'm not breastfeeding, like, we'll be in Walmart. And I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go get this, and you go get that. And me and David will take 12 steps the opposite direction of James. And he'll be looking around me like, mom, mama, where my daddy go? I don't see daddy.
Daddy, like, hey, I'm coming, man. Just give me a
second. And I'm like, okay, because I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, but it's cool.
That's
it's cool.
From a connection, from like moment you did that. Like, that's so powerful.
Well, and he was born in the same room he was conceived in, I think.
Okay.
No, wait. Dang. He might have been conceived on Fred's.
But anyway.
Different house.
I don't know. It's just, you know, when you have your baby in the same place where your body is used to being and your immune system is used to being, instead of going to a hospital, your body's like, new place, got to build some new immunities, got to do all this.
And your nervous system is calmer because it's in the comfort of your own home.
And if you want to smoke or if you don't want this person there or that person or if you want to take a shit in your own toilet. Like, you know, or like
be as naked as you want and feel so comfortable.
And you're not worried about maybe a male nurse coming in.
Right. Or having any unwanted thought come through your head that like does not serve you.
Or like
you
this
know?
Bitch that just checked your blood pressure had an attitude and you don't want her to come back in.
You don't want
room.
Her to touch you.
That's why I'm a doula. Because if I'm with my client and she's like, the only man in here can be my husband or my man, then I get to go and be like, hey, excuse me. I turn them right around gently and escort them on out. No, you can't be in here. You're a dude.
We're honoring her wishes.
That's what we're doing. But they don't pay attention. It is. They don't care. Yeah. And everyone thinks they just have to listen when they get in that hospital, but you end up with the bill. You have a deductible. They get paid. So they got to listen to you. You don't pay for a haircut you don't like.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So you can say no. People think they can't say no. No. Yeah. You can say no.
Yeah. I
know. Sometimes they make you sign a form if you say no. And I'm like, bring me the form.
Yeah.
I said
that's,
no.
That's energy. That's it is. Like public energy. Yeah. The baby has never been around before. People, the sounds, the lighting.
Foreign objects.
The whole building.
Not to mention, someone had a baby in there 4 days ago and that family was in there.
The whole building is full of people.
Yeah, so that energy's still in there.
But you know, guys, people don't always freaking think like that. Exactly. Like, I think it's so beautiful and such a gift to have that sort of mind to be able to process things like that and to be able to know that, because that's like, that's what I feel like, I don't know, to me, I feel like people are missing that because they're so caught up in, like, the traditional, like, what you must do ways and, like, this is the only way it goes. And if you do something different, you are freaking cuckoo, you know?
Yeah.
Our two-year-old was sick last week, and he was kind of coming down. He was on his last couple of days or whatever of it, and we were in the bedroom about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. He was sleeping in. He woke up and came in the room, and we were talking about something. He didn't notice he came in the room behind us. He came in there all quiet. Mind you, he's 2 years old. Came out of his room, walked down the hallway, came in our room while we were talking.
It was like, early. It was still dark.
He didn't climb in the bed or any of that. He walked to the edge of the bed in the same area that we had the pool in where he was birthed at. He laid down on the floor and curled up in a fetal position and just laid there.
In the
until
spot
I turned around, I was like, oh, my dude, he's in here. I was like, he was right over there in his birth spot. She was like, oh, there is his birth spot. He just laying there looking at us like,
that's
hey,
crazy.
Waiting on y'all to get done talking. I'm just chilling like, oh.
Didn't fuss, didn't whine, and he didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And he had that little gook in his eye, you know? I've been putting breast milk in it. Yeah. Squeeze out a few drops, put in a syringe, put that in his eye.
Right.
All we've cleared up. Is medicine. Healing. It's cannabis, breast milk, her placenta. Natural things, herbs, things like that. He has not been to one doctor. She has not been to a doctor. We've been to the chiropractor. That's about it.
You guys are speaking my language.
I know. Your brain is like lighting up in so many ways. I can feel her lighting up.
I know. I'm like, we could have a whole other podcast episode on natural birth, holistic ways.
We use food.
Over the counter meds or over our counter. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah. Word. I love that.
We make it. If we need something, we make it.
Yeah.
So tell us in your own words, because people often have a misconception of midwives and doulas and what they do. But the reality is, women have been playing that role since the beginning. So will you share with us what it is to be a doula? Like, what does that look like? If a woman is pregnant, you have a client, what do you do for them?
Okay. So a doula is the emotional support for pregnant crazy. Okay. Pregnant women, you literally lose brain cells. You're going through a lot. You can have a boost of dopamine, and then you can have a boost of gamma blockers. It's going to make you sad. And, you know, different things like that. You can watch a commercial, and it will give you such a shot of an emotion that you are now in this sad place, and now you have a bad dream that's very vivid. My job is to help you find your level, talk you down or talk you up. Make you feel uncrazy, help you understand why and how maybe you being a little bit crazy,
feel confident
that these things are normal, answer the weird questions, talk about why you just had a vision of swinging a baby and throwing it against the wall. Like, these things
it's
normal shit. It's to help with normalcy. It's to help you think of the things that you may not think of if you're going to be at a hospital or during your birth. It's to be your advocate, because when you're going through birth, even if you don't take all of the drugs that they try to give you, you're still loopy. Mm-hmm. You're still going through waves of intense pressure. I'm not going to call it pain because after everything I've learned, it's really not pain. It's intense pressure mm-hmm. that you can breathe through. If you're in a coma, mm-hmm. your body will still birth your baby without you knowing it.
Really? Wow.
For a woman, really? Birth is wow. just like blinking your eyes. It's like breathing. It's one of those functions. Mm-hmm. So you can be completely comatose but pregnant, and if your body is still getting what it needs to keep that baby in there and it's birth time, you're going to have a baby and be asleep.
Wow.
So when you put powerful. That in perspective,
yes.
Okay, so I'm just helping everyone understand that, bitch, you're made to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what a doula is. Also, like, you know, if you don't want your mother-in-law in the room and you don't want to tell her that mm-hmm. and you don't want he doesn't want to tell her,
yeah.
then the doula, yeah. that's me.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a part of you that's like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. You know, they need privacy. This is important. I will be well, so-and-so went in. Well, that, you know what? But they need, you know, it's yeah. me. It's, I'm the filter. Yeah. I'm the bumper. I'm the make sure that she said she wants to keep her. She wants delayed cord clamping. Mm-hmm. I'm the make sure things go in line. I'm the remind your husband to. I'll tell the husband whenever we have our appointments, like, if she gets crazy, tell her to text me.
Yeah.
Like, don't let her,
yeah.
you know, trip. Mm-hmm. Don't let her be upset for too long. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help you keep yourself balanced so that you can have a happy pregnancy, because what you feel, your baby feels.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling too hard in one way or another, or crazy, or you have questions, or shit's weird, that's what a doula's for. I take pleasure in taking on whatever's going on and mm-hmm. making space for you to understand where you're at and what you're going through. The midwife is like the doctor. She can sew you up if you tear after a baby. If your baby's in the wrong position, she can turn it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's making the call on, you know, if you need to go to a hospital or not. I can check blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I can do, like, the heartbeat and the, you know, the boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
What's it called right now? It's gone. But
ultrasound.
There's not that.
Okay.
The
ultrasound.
No, the heart monitor thing, you know, with the gel goo. So you can hear the heartbeat. Anyway, yeah. So I don't do medical things. I do emotional things. Okay. I do, like, assisting. Like, I can mm-hmm. hold stuff mm-hmm. for the doula, but yeah. I'm not handling it.
What's the most rewarding thing to you about being a doula and guiding women through their journey? Because I know I'm sure you've helped your, you know, women close to you personally in your life. And that's a beautiful thing, to be able to help somebody. Like, I know if and when I get pregnant, Brandon will be a huge piece of that. And she will be a huge, like, without even knowing it, she'll be my doula. Yeah, she is my doula. And she, without even knowing it, she is. That's who I know she's going to be that for me. And I know, you know, when it comes time to having my baby, like, she will be right by me talking me through it, because nobody talks me through anything like this girl does.
Right.
And so what, like, for you being around that and, like, touching people close to you, like, what's been the most rewarding part about that?
Okay, let's pause for a minute and talk about Oklahoma's grassroots cannabis publication, Herbage Magazine.
They are in over 500 dispensaries statewide, providing cannabis education and supporting and highlighting the local communities.
For more information, visit herbagemag.com. That's herbagemag.com.
I have birthed my niece.
That's cool.
Yes. She was going through it, and she had a midwife, and she had a doula present, and my mom was there.
Okay.
But when I got there,
mm-hmm.
and I talked my little sister through it like nobody talks
her
through things,
mm-hmm.
she was like, I don't think I can do this. I was like, yeah, you can. You're about to meet your daughter. So I was like, you're a lioness. And I said, I need you to roar. She laughed at me. I said, come on, roar.
Yeah.
And we roared right there over the edge of the birth pool. And I said, all right, come on, let's take some breaths. And we took deep breaths, and she pushed her baby out in like 2 minutes.
I could cry. My eyes are watering. That's so beautiful.
And so, yeah, I caught my niece, and her midwife and doula were standing there like, oh. And she had been in that pool for like 2 hours.
Wow.
I came from Tulsa. Me and James were eating. And she was like, your sister's laboring. And I was like, okay, I know. It's her first baby.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got some time. So I finished eating.
Took your time.
Drank
you knew
my
it was
margarita.
Up.
Went and dropped the kids off. And I was like, all right, babe, I'm going to birth my niece.
Yeah.
I was there for 20 minutes, and my niece was there.
That's so beautiful.
It was amazing. So for me, being able to emotionally show a woman that it's mind over matter, mm-hmm. for real, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like you, it's mind over matter, mm-hmm. that shit is a... mm-hmm. And then to teach you how to breastfeed,
and
help you and your baby connect in that way,
yeah,
and help you know that you can be the sole provider of nutrients for this being,
right? Mm-hmm.
And that's all you, and trust your body to make it.
So mm-hmm. beautiful.
And this is what the AM does, and this is what the PM does, and this is how you label it, and this is what it's going to do for your baby, you know,
mm-hmm.
that. And to encapsulate a placenta for a mom with swollen tree trunk ankles,
mm.
and you give her placenta, and 2 days later she's calling you crying like, "Oh my God, I can see my fucking, you know, I can see my calf again." Like,
because you gave back your body,
what you need. Needed. Because here in America they take it for themselves, but in other countries they ask you, "How do you want it back?"
Yeah,
wow.
You can have it in a smoothie. You can have it freeze dried. Mm-hmm. You can have it just steamed and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get it encapsulated. And I've done over 200 encapsulations.
Wow,
Bri. Most of them for women of color, but I've done everybody's.
Yeah.
I used to do them for free until I got to about 65. And James was like, "You have to charge people now because it makes the whole place smell like ladies." He calls it lady steak.
Oh, man. I bet, James. What? That's crazy. Well, yeah. Gnarly.
I was doing it as my gift bag because in Oklahoma, they charge anywhere from $300 to $500 to do it.
Wow. Okay.
And then they charge you to pick it up. But that's like a house call for a plumber. Yeah. She's supposed to bring it to you and she just had a baby.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Her husband's supposed to leave her to bring it to you when they just had a baby?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You pick it up and you don't charge people for that.
Yeah.
So I was doing it as my give back because it made me feel
good.
That's
sweet, Bri. Mm-hmm.
And so I started charging people and I was just charging 100 until I got to like 150.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I do them pretty quick. It's turnaround. You pretty much pay for your supplies and I get a little extra on top.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, as you should. Know.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I charge 200 for it and it's a $50 deposit that I use on supplies. And then,
doable.
Yeah.
That's
still a little less than 50% of what you can get when you Google placenta encapsulation in OKC or admin. So it's cool. It's very rewarding. It makes my heart sing.
Yeah.
Helping moms feel
strong
and let them know they can do it. Because, before we had hospitals, your grandma and your niece and the lady down the street who has 5 kids, they all got together and they came to your house and helped you get through birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they used to tell the men to go boil water just so they would just go watch water boil. Kind of get out of here. You can't do anything here.
Okay.
There's no point for these boiled towels. Yeah. Okay. But women used to go, Indian women and Aboriginal women and women, tribal women, used to go out into the forest and make themselves a birth space. And then they would come back. They would go there either by themselves or with their, one or two other ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come back 3 or 4 days later to the village to introduce the baby to the father and the rest of the village. The women went and did that real quick alone, real quick, like...
That's
some
so,
by themselves and some with just a few.
That's so animal-like.
Yeah, it is.
So we're all like animals here in that sense. Because I could see my dog doing
they're
that.
They're like us. They, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every mammal.
They still follow nature. We're the ones who
aren't doing
gone off course from our natural way.
Because every mammal.
The animals are there to remind us of what we still, kind of how we're supposed to be operating.
A bear, a tiger, a giraffe. Every mammal that eat, even dolphins. Every mammal that gives birth, before they tend to the young that they just gave birth to, they go eat that placenta. You can go Google, elephant birth and watch this elephant give birth to 2 or 3 or 1 or, elephant. And then they're sniffing around. They're going for that placenta. They're going to eat that and ingest that. Then they're going to go find out if their baby's okay.
Yeah.
Because you need that back. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's nature. That's them listening to their own bodies. Yeah. Nature knowing.
Well, the placenta's the filter between. And then James actually doulas with the men now. He counsels with the men because the placenta is made of mostly, and he's done a lot of deep research to find out the connection for man because everyone's always worried about the mom and the dads kind of get swept under too, but dads get pregnant too. You know, they have feelings, they have cravings. Yeah. They have to go through all of the parts of, you know, having to provide for another person.
Emotionally, and mentally.
And they're dealing with this crazy bitch
who's
crying because you put the fucking cereal too high.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So he counsels with the dads now. And when we have an open appointment for a new client, usually I have James there now to make sure and meet the dad and tell him, hey, I was there for a home birth. And he has an older son that he was there for a C-section birth in the hospital. So I had the C-section and two home births, so I experienced it.
Yes.
The whole hospital, follow it their way, then do it my way. And he was a dad to a surgery, C-section birth, and then he caught his own kid.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a different dynamic to be able to talk to several different kinds of people.
Yeah, which is so nice.
Now, he counsels with the dads now, and I don't even charge for that.
What a powerful duo doing that.
It's really cool that you guys do that.
We might have to evaluate.
Reevaluate.
She's in her feelings about me making her charge, but I'm not charging for my services.
Yeah. I think that's really cool that you do that. I've not heard, that's not something, you're right, Bree, like when men do get swept under the rug. And I know that, like, I've heard this from some of my guy friends, but like for the first 3 months, the baby doesn't need the dad, the baby needs the mom, right? Mm-hmm. And so like men.
They do need the dad.
They do, yes. But like, you know what I mean? Just like
The stigma. Yeah.
And so men tend to feel not needed in that way, but it's like if you're helping your wife or your significant other, you're helping the baby. Like if you're helping one, everyone's
baby
being helped.
That baby can hear you, smell you,
everything.
See you, knows the feelings and the hormones. James would sit up with me while I was breastfeeding and we would laugh. They tell women to watch funny videos while you're breastfeeding to release dopamines into your milk so that you have a happy baby.
Yeah.
He would sit up with me, and next thing you know, we'd smoke, and he'd roll up, and we'd smoke, and I'd smoke and nurse, and he would make me laugh. And we'd be sitting up just talking about stupid shit, just cracking the fuck up. And I'd be like, babe, we need to write these down so we can laugh again later. Like, what were we laughing about? But it helped.
Pure.
It helped. And David is always smiling.
Yeah.
And he knows he can hear his dad, you know, anywhere. Dads are very important. And that placenta is actually made up mostly of dad's chromosomes.
Okay, interesting.
Dad starts the heartbeat.
Yeah.
Dad puts the power and the energy into the beginning of life. And then his cells go on over and put the beginning and the core into that placenta. So some healthy dad will make a healthier placenta to make a healthier filter for mommy's body for a healthier baby.
We're literally responsible for whether or not the woman gets back her nutrients or not that she's just giving to our child.
Like
she's sacrificing all these brain cells and nutrients and hair loss and all of that for 9 months, 10 months.
And then some people just throw it away.
So, if we weren't taking care of ourselves before we put this seed in there, then we're also not going to grow a healthy placenta. So she's going to suffer a little bit more after she gives us our child because we didn't give her nutrients.
You got to make sure your man is healthy as well.
Yeah.
Like before you plan a baby, and I really wish I could tell all younger people this, before you plan a baby and all that, dad needs to change his diet. His shit needs to be clear and healthy, almost like water. Do you hear me? It better not be none of that extra... You know,
I mean, it's science. This is real.
It needs to be healthy, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very important to the health of the baby and that filter.
They're about to water that seed.
Yes.
It's a discharge.
It's a whole life force.
It's
and they tell you that
discharge is like, I don't want healthy discharge coming out of you.
Hey, yeah.
It's our only discharge.
It needs to be healthy.
So it needs to be a liquid gold.
really. It is that. And they tell you it's just, you know, water, sugar, and protein and any STD he may have. That's what they tell you it is. That is not what it is.
Yeah.
And you can go and read about and find out what it is. It is liquid gold.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it's very good for you to collect while you're pregnant and to continue to receive through your pregnancy.
Okay.
It helps your cervix. It helps your pelvic bone. It helps a lot of things stay and be and go back how they're supposed to. And the makeup of it changes when it knows that it's going back into a place where its life is growing.
Wow.
Okay.
Do you get it?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
It will not be the same as what he put in first day.
DNA is some of the most advanced technology.
It talks to each other. So that fluid, is going to tell his fluid, oh, hold on. Make me that other juice. I need that other juice. I'm already growing your baby. So make me that other juice. I'm going to use that. And so you're getting something different.
That's fucking crazy.
I know. I love
it. I'm fascinated. Okay. So tell me this. You're very natural minded. So when it comes to vaccines and babies, and I know this can be a very touchy subject, but this is a conversation Brandon and I have quite often, actually. But what's your thought on that? And for, have you experienced any mothers that have wanted to vaccinate their baby? And like, what's that conversation look like for you? Where do you stand on that?
When I have a client that's not a very close friend that is asking me my real ass, whole ass opinion, I support whatever they want. I provide them with blatant, clear, bitch, if you think that's a good idea, facts, you know. And if she thinks that's a good idea still, then I support her respectfully.
Yeah.
And without qualm or judgment. But if it's like my sister or you, I'm gonna be like, you better not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can let anybody know that you don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna make you feel like you need it.
Yes.
Don't need
it. They're gonna fear monger you.
Yeah. Just like she said, your body is gonna naturally have a baby, whether you, it's gonna naturally provide you with everything you need. Like we just said, the placenta and everything like that provides the baby with all the vaccine that it needs. All the vaccine is a synthetic version of what they've taken from you and didn't allow you to replenish it.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to replenish it for you when there's synthetic shit mixed with a little poison and little crap. And
it makes you feel like, hey, coming back.
This will avoid, keep you from having this, and this. When it's like,
they're all lies.
Could have just ate my placenta and avoided this, and this.
Yeah, like jaundice and things like that.
Yeah.
Your baby would not have that if you would have did delayed cord clamping and then ate your placenta and then fed your breast milk back to your baby.
Ear infections.
Low glucose.
Hair loss.
All of that.
Eczema. Low milk production. Fatigue. You don't even have to be as fatigued as you are, even though you just had a baby.
You could be like,
still have more energy than you would think you had if you had the proper placenta intake and nutrient intake.
I helped break down my own birth pool.
Depleted yourself.
Pulled the liner with all the trash in it. The other boys are in the living room chilling, playing video games, and I come walking out of the bedroom with a liner over my shoulder with all this blood and shit in it. They're like, what's that? And I'm like, it's the leftovers.
She let me know what to expect. She let me know what to expect, so I wasn't freaking out when I saw that. Like, babe, sit down. She's like, no, it's going to be a moment. I have a rush of energy, a rush of adrenaline, and certain things that that nature gives you, just in case you went and ducked off and made yourself a spot in the woods. Yeah. You're by yourself for a minute. You can do what you need to do to get back to the village.
For 3 days after you give birth, your body is...
Hey, y'all, I made it back. Boom, here. Now I'm with my wife, my husband, my whoever's in the village. And now I can finally, oh, my God.
Yeah. A baby came through here.
Yeah.
So when I saw her doing that, it was like, hey, y'all, chill out. They were looking at me like, didn't she just, I'm over there holding David. Like, let her do her thing.
Yeah.
And she gets to where just she's comfortable. Move. She's going to sit her ass down, and I'm going to jump in and
do what I need to do.
She's comfortable again. Yeah. Like, it's nothing.
But
it's way more peaceful than they've always made us think it is on TV and on movies. And just, it's not as frantic. It's not as
panicked. It doesn't have to be.
No, it's not at all. Yeah.
So you consumed during pregnancy, Bree. What did that look like for you, and how did it benefit your journey personally?
Okay. So my first pregnancy, I was 21, 22, and I could not hold down food, and I was extremely nauseous all the time. Cannabis helped me be able to eat, have an appetite, and keep my food down. I did not consume a lot. I smoked a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the evening, and any time I got nauseous, like one blunt would last me the whole day. Just puffs enough to chill out my tummy, and then I was done. Because I was new and I was young, and like I said, I was a rule follower with all the things. Then my second pregnancy, I had 4 jobs. I was bartending at 2 places. I was doing demos at 1 place, and I was doing cannabis work. And consuming when cannabis was legal was hard, because when you go into a dispensary that big, everybody's judging. Everybody's being rude. I've had bartenders act like they couldn't hand me the weed, like that they're going to hand it to James or hand it to my mom because,
you're pregnant.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not how this is supposed to go. But with my second pregnancy, I chain smoked blunts. And that was before I knew about hemp wrap. So I chain smoked blunts, Swisher Sweet originals. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say chain smoke, you think about an old lady in the back of the bar, you know, real skinny with the tank top on, chain smoking the cigarettes. Like, that was me with blunts. Like, every time I got in the car, the moment up until I was getting out of my car to go into work, every break, every drive, I was chain smoking blunts. And what it did for me was kept me from being depressed. I also did a raw vegan diet for that pregnancy.
Okay.
So I was eating super clean. I did not cook anything. I went raw vegan, like raw, like cold, like,
okay,
you know, like noodle spiralized, you know, things, and just raw. It was really good. I was doing a challenge with my mom, and I continued to do it, and it left me bright and happy, and legit, my poop didn't stink. Like, I had energy. I had energy to work all my jobs. I worked up until 3 days before I had my baby.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
It was very cool. I was huge. People thought there were two in there. I had a 9.5 pound baby at home.
Okay.
And I smoked while I was laboring, like leaning over the edge of the pool in the water. My mom was holding a blunt at my lips, and I'm and that pregnancy, I had lost, you know, you lose your lung capacity.
Yeah.
So I had lost my capacity to smoke. So my mom would make me peanut butter cookies, and I'd eat peanut butter cookies all throughout the day, just a purse full of cookies.
Yeah.
And just
eating, just to prepare yourself.
Just eating them, just chain eating peanut butter, just super, stupid high. But I was happy, and I was super healthy. And then with baby David, I mean, James will tell you, I mean, I didn't chain smoke blunts, but we had hemp wraps. We had tinctures, we had oils, we had topicals, we had CBD bath bombs, we had inhalers, because we were in the industry, we hardcore.
Okay.
She was pregnant at expos and shit like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we went to repeat, like, expos or Canicon and stuff like that, the next year after we had him, they're like, oh, is that the little, yeah, this is him. Like, yeah.
David has more cannabis friends than we do.
Shout out to David. Okay, so tell me this. Between the first kid that you had where you lightly smoked and then David now, do you feel like the amount of cannabinoids that you and the baby received have affected the kids differently? Like, do you see, like, maybe one kid's a little bit more, like, has high energy versus, like, the other one's maybe a little bit more chill, or just, like, their demeanors? Or do you think they're pretty balanced and pretty
James
leveled?
Could probably answer that better, because all my kids, I'm going to say they're chill. None of them are vaccinated. Before it was cool to not vaccinate, I was doing that with all of them. So,
yeah.
And they've all been to regular daycare and regular school since they were little. And none of them have ever been sick beyond a regular cold. None of them have had an ear infection or an eye infection. The 12-year-old down to the 2-year-old.
Wow.
And I smoked with all of them lightly to heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say they're all chill.
Yeah.
I can take them anywhere. Uh-huh. They could come and sit on that couch and chill the whole time we've been here.
Yeah.
And behave.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say I don't see a difference. James knows them from the past 5 years and sees them from not their parent.
Yes.
So do you think there's a difference? Yes. Elias is way chill.
She knows there's a difference too. She just
I can't say.
Yeah.
The 2-year-old and the now 6-year-old, the younger two, the ones that were non-vaccinated.
Blunted.
Smoked around.
Yeah.
Smoked during pregnancy. They're the ones that are more chill majority of the time. Like overall, they're the chill ones overall.
Yeah.
Now all four of them have the potential to chill when we need them to.
Yeah.
But if we're just being
younger
two,
the
real canna babies, they chill naturally. They're relaxed, they're calm. People are like, hey, they're always this cool. Like, the older two, they're a little more spazzy. Like,
they're
spazzy.
They do a little weird stuff and a little quirky and they're a little, you know what I'm saying? They're a little more spazzy and weird. And we have to be like, hey, man, why are you doing that? Calm down a little bit. Like,
you're
doing this little weird dance, a little weird jig, and we're trying to just, like, sit here in line at the store. So, we do notice that difference. And they can't just sit there and kind of zone out and be in their zone without...
Yeah, without, feeling like they have to be doing something
twitchy.
At all times.
They're more twitchy.
Yeah,
you know,
for
what
sure.
They would, what they would call ADHD and all that crap that they try to give you meds for.
Yes.
Yeah, they're a little more like that.
Okay.
Where you can tell, hey, man, get them a little hit or something.
Yeah.
The 2-year-old, 6-year-old, you catch them in the back seat sometimes. You look back and make sure they're not asleep.
They're just being quiet.
Looking out the window or listening to our conversation. And we're talking about some deep shit. And it's like, are you analyzing our conversation?
Yeah.
They're the ones we have to look at sometimes. Like, what do you really know, dude?
They say shit to fuck you up. And you're like, whoa, are you 40?
Yeah.
What is this?
Are you just keeping me in line or something? You know, what are you doing?
He's right. I couldn't have answered it like that because I'm the mom.
Yeah. Well said, though.
Yeah. So when it comes to being a doula for women and providing them the safe space, when it comes to the conversation of consuming cannabis or bringing that conversation up if they are having a really hard pregnancy, how do you approach them? And, like, what's usually the response or the take from their end?
Well, now that it's legal, it's much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I can flat out say, well, have you ever consumed cannabis?
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered it? And then I can spit mad facts about the benefits during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
If they really know me and they know any of my kids, then I disclose to them, I consumed cannabis mm-hmm. up until 2 days before to all of anybody.
Yeah.
But I just ask them if they're into it, then I'll suggest things like tinctures mm-hmm. or light edibles. You know, there's lots of other ways to do it outside of smoking. Mm-hmm. You really don't try to convince a pregnant woman to smoke unless yeah. she's already a smoker.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
for sure.
they're looking at you like, oh, what the fuck? You know, yeah. so it's like, you know, try this tincture. This will help with this. Or there's inhalers now. There's mm-hmm. all different sorts of ways. You could even do topicals, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
that you can actually feel there's patches.
Yeah.
So I okay. encourage in all different kind of ways if it's necessary. If they already smoke, I let them know it's totally cool to smoke as much as they need to.
Yeah.
But I don't generally try to, if they're having a situation, I'll do it. But it's
organic.
Yeah,
alternative to try before you jump to, if you're having a little issue of some sort, it's a good alternative to try to jump to before you jump to vaccines.
Yeah.
Based off of what we've read and learned in documentaries, especially like We the People,
yeah.
stuff like that, and what I've learned about just birth in general without learning, you know, cannabis being involved. With mm-hmm. most people being in the womb 9 months,
mm-hmm.
your body is lacking, is automatically lacking 3 months mm-hmm. of cell salts.
Yeah.
Each month. In the year, it provides mm-hmm. our bodies with a certain amount of cell salt. So everybody who's in the womb for only 9 months is lacking 3 months worth of a certain amount of cell salt.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people are having problems in their births or in pregnancies and things like that, it could be because their child or their mother or mm-hmm. their father, whatever, is lacking certain cell salts or certain minerals that the body needs. And the fact that we have an endocannabinoid system, if it's never been fed at all,
mm-hmm.
you never ingested any kind of cannabinoids, yes, your body can still naturally produce a certain amount of cannabinoids because you have that system.
Yeah.
But other than that, if you've never tried to feed that, you feeding that system just a little bit
mm-hmm.
will change your whole yeah. whole body makeup and how it's reacting and how it's giving off other mm-hmm. Fluids and things like that.
And just like if you feed it a little bit from birth mm-hmm. till, you know, if you make it a norm to microdose your mm-hmm. children, it's anti-cancer.
Yeah.
It's anti a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's pros and cons that can be talked about. But, you know, I don't press it on anybody.
Yeah.
But if they want to know, I give it to them and I tell them, do it, girl. You want me to bring you some weed? You know?
mm-hmm. So, Bri, being a mother, being a father, caring for others in general, like, what does time for each of you look like? Like, how do you guys find time for yourself, you know, when you do wear many hats? Like, what is that?
We make dates out of everything.
Yeah, you just make it all fun.
This is a date. going to the grocery store together when we only have David or whenever we have all the kids, but we make the kids push the cart and we walk behind them.
Yeah.
That's a date.
Aww. I mean, not having an everyday type of job where we have to be separate at our individual offices working for this individual
for
company
sure.
for mm-hmm. this 8 yes. to 10 to 12 hours a day. And like, we can make mm-hmm. our own schedule. We can call and talk to people and shoot the shit with them.
I drive.
Work out where we want to be, what time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole cannabis industry is a lot more laid back.
It's the freedom, more, the time.
Yeah. And people don't, you know, we're used to working certain jobs, working for certain people.
For sure, requiring
to be up early and mm-hmm. be here and be a little more, you know, mm-hmm. suit and tie, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're used to that flow. When we first got started, mm-hmm. we were getting up 6-7 o'clock ready to go. And then I'm like, hey, man, I'm not going to be at dispensary till 10, bro. Like, what the fuck?
And
I'm
like, oh, yeah. I'm like, damn.
We're dealing with fellow smokers. Hold on. We got to slow it down, babe. Yeah. So the industry
is
way more
laid
back. Make your own schedule. Sleep in a little bit, even though some people 9-10 o'clock is not sleeping in. To us, like, hey, that's sleeping in, cool.
Yeah,
it's beautiful to be able to
pick
the kids up, drop the kids off, go grocery shopping together.
To move how you want to move, when you want to move.
Most couples can't do together.
Yes,
and get to know each other and to get to smoke together.
I agree.
And, you know,
that's
what I'm saying, work
cool.
together,
see how we react to different life situations. And,
Right, because you're doing it together. You're not separate for all those hours a day. Yeah,
like we know each other. He knows
trying to catch up with each other. So, what was your day like? Hey, what did you deal with?
Yeah.
I saw how she
you spent it
who
together.
Pissed her off today. And she saw who pissed me off today. We
That's
dealt with
cool.
each other, you know.
Hey,
you could have dealt with it a little better, babe. Yeah. Well, you could have did that. So you
or I'm like, get him, babe, get him, because I'm about to get an attitude.
Help me out.
And it started during COVID. During COVID season. So it was perfect time for us to have all that time to spend together while everybody else was.
It's a good transition.
And for me to learn how to cook.
Everybody else was forced to do the same thing. Yeah. And we were getting to learn each other, know each other better because we wanted all that time together anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody else was forced to do it. And they're like, God damn it, I was going to work and glad to be apart from your ass for 10 hours and not got to be.
Right.
So, yeah, we had
I'll have to see you.
Yeah,
for...
we had a different view about it.
Yeah.
I still bartend downtown. I still bartend at the Civic Center.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
a manager there now, actually.
Yes, I know.
So. I leave at the PMs a few weeks a month, maybe 10 shifts, 10 to 17 shifts a month. I leave and I'm gone for a maximum of 4 hours, unless it's a Saturday and I do two shifts, you know.
Okay.
But otherwise, we're together. Our kids see us together. We wake up together. We hang out together.
Yeah.
And we like each other.
Yeah. It's so cool that your kids get to grow up around that and see like mom and dad. It's like very, it's. Yeah, and it just to see your parents like bond and connect like that in a different way.
Have you a good relationship.
Yeah,
you
know? Don't realize it as a kid, but when you get older and like it's time for them to love and like grow relationships with their significant others, they have such a model example of like love in their home.
Man, we do. We get along all the time, but like don't.
Of
like,
course, every
we're
listen,
normal.
Of course.
I'm the crazy one though.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, Brie. I love you, but that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yes.
I mean, don't get it wrong. He has the same amount of crazy, but his is locked up so nice and neat.
Yes.
And mine's like creeping out the side of the box.
Yeah, you're trying to make it not noticeable.
Right. I'm like, put a jacket on, crazy.
Got an accessory for that guy.
Right,
what's she doing?
Yeah. She busts out every night. I'm like, hey, what is she doing? I get her back in there.
Yeah, and he
did it's your job to zip her back up.
He's so nice about it, too. I'm always sitting there going, damn, I can't even get more crazy because you're so nice about it.
I know.
That's how you know it's some good shit.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
So with all of that being said, what's a stigma surrounding cannabis that you guys would like to see changed?
Man, that we're potheads, that we can't set an appointment and be on time, that we don't hold down a regular job, that our kids are tardy to school, that we, you know, don't have
ding,
a clean
ding,
home.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know, people think my house is going to look like an ashtray and smell like a fucking, I don't know, but they come in and they're like, oh.
Your house
well,
is actually
is,
really nice.
This is nice.
You're like, yeah, I smoked that blunt. Why I cleaned the whole house?
Or it was my
sales,
reward.
And they feel like your house probably looks like a trap house. You got pounds everywhere.
Yeah. Like,
you know, people laying around there smoking and video girls in the corner like, no.
Video girls in
I mean, people think that they're going to get a music video. They come in like, well. I mean, even family members.
Yeah.
You know,
it's probably like, especially family members.
Like, we've been bumping all day.
Right. Like,
that's how
like,
they kind of set it up. That's
all
how
we
to,
do is smoke, man.
That's how the media is kind of set it up, though.
For sure.
Like, oh, you guys do this, or you know about that, or, you know, that I don't have no sense.
Yeah.
You know, or that we can't be trusted all the way. Like, no, bro. Mm-hmm. I just smoked a little weed.
It kind of busted out and went back public, and all anybody had ever seen before then was people getting in trouble for it in public, and then seeing it on TV. And, with, you know, all the goofy shit they show on movies and TV shows and shit like that, and how it'll make you feel. And how, they go off for that, and it's like, oh, man.
Or the commercial with the skillet with the egg and the girl sunk
horrible.
On the couch.
Oh, my gosh.
That
was
commercial.
Crazy.
Or the one where the guy runs over the girl in the drive-thru on the little pink bike. First of all, where is her mom? Because who's riding her bike
I know.
In front of a drive-thru? Second of all, I've sat at many a stop signs.
Yes.
Being high, okay. Yeah, there's no way I'm accelerating quickly when I'm high.
Just
especially when I just got food in my lap.
Yeah.
I know, right?
It doesn't make any sense.
Being high kind of helps you notice how many people there are out there doing more high shit and are sober.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you doing more high shit than I am. I'm the one over here high. What you doing dropping your chains and shit? Like, you were looking at me about 10 minutes ago because I smell like weed. But
and
you,
now I'm looking
you
at you.
You're doing weed activity.
I can just hold myself better than you.
Exactly.
Right. Like, what's up? You ain't even high. Uh-huh. Come on now.
I got an excuse if I trip over my motherfucker.
I better have one.
Well, guys, I think this wraps up today's episode. You guys were such a delight to have on. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for taking time out of your birthday, your mornings to be here with us. Share your journey with just everything. This was a beautiful conversation.
Yes, I absorbed so much from both of you. So thank you for taking time to pour into us and to anyone who was listening. And thank you to everyone who chose to hit that play button on today's episode. We appreciate you greatly. Be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode. And as always,
stay medicated.
Hey.